Thank you, sisters, for your music tonight. It's good to be here with all of you in 2017 reunion. A lot of good memories I know that I have about reunion, not only meeting here at these grounds, but back in Excelsior Springs when we met there. I remember going to the reunion that Brother Steve talked about in 1987. It was a big one. I think we had 300 or 400 people. But it was the only reunion that year, so that's why we had so many people. Our theme this week is well known to, I'm sure, all of you, the David's Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the scripture today is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you know, I have to say that, and before today, in getting really, if you would ask me if I thought about that, I wouldn't have really given it much thought at all. But you know, in your preparation, you begin to think about things in a little bit different light, and perhaps the Lord enlightens your mind and gives you some understanding. It seems like such a simple phrase. It's really two sentences, but it seems so simple. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you know, David was a shepherd. If you remember the story, when Samuel the prophet, he was told to seek out the next king of Israel among the sons of Jesse. And so he went there and saw each of the sons of Jesse and was told, "No, this is not the one." And so he asked, "Do you have any more sons?" He said, "Well, yes, the youngest, David, but he's out tending the sheep." And so David was a shepherd. He knew what it was like to be a shepherd. But that's not really, that's really not the point of this scripture, though, I think. It has, I think, deeper meaning than that. And it has a lot of meaning for our lives. You know, many times we express our desire for the Lord to be our shepherd. We want Him to be our guide. We want Him to lead us in our lives. And we do this because we know that He is good. And we know that in Him resides the greatest wisdom and understanding and the knowledge and the understanding of our lives, even perhaps beyond that which we understand ourselves. And so, in allowing Him to be our shepherd and our lead, we hope that then we can have the ultimate fulfillment in our lives, that they will turn out in such a way that not only will we be pleased with the outcome and we will find joy and happiness and peace, but that the Lord will be pleased with the outcome. And I got to thinking some questions here as I was preparing for tonight. Thought about, well, who really is our shepherd? And you know, we have a lot of forces in this world, don't we, in our individual lives that vie for our attention. And they pull us this way, and they pull us that way, and they demand our time and our attention. And you know, we want Him to be our shepherd, but if you think about that in your own daily lives, you realize that many times that there is someone else or something else that is the lead of your life. And I think sometimes, many of us, we hope that we can have the opportunity to be able to pull apart or pull away from those forces, that we can tune our hearts to the Lord, that we can draw out to Him in prayer, that we have that quiet solitude. And you know, brothers and sisters, that's what this week is about. It's not only that we meet together here to talk about God's Word and to share it and to worship together in prayer and in song, but that we have drawn ourselves away from the things that would turn our eyes from the shepherd, so that He can be our shepherd and He can lead us. This is your week, brothers and sisters. You know, I grew up in the church, and we every year I went to camp. And every year in those preceding months, I would think to myself, this year I'm not going to stand up and pray at campfire, or this year I'm not going to share a testimony. But then I would get there to that camp, and something would happen. I would become a different person, and I would leave there a different person, and I was changed. And I think about that when I think about reunion, because I don't get to go to camp anymore. But here we get to draw apart here in this quiet place, this place separated from other things, that we might be able to seek Him out. And another question that came to my mind is, what will you make of this week? Is this going to be just another reunion, or just another week of the summer that you maybe have some fun, that you have some relaxation? Or could this week be something greater for you? Could it be that this is your week that you can commune with your Lord in a way that you have not done before, in a way that you have not experienced before or thought of, that you can draw nearer to Him than you have ever been, perhaps even in your life up to this time? And you know, I'm not just speaking to the adults, I'm speaking to the youth too, because the Lord really encourages us to seek Him out at any age. You know, when I was 14, I was in junior high, and my kids always correct me on that. They say, because it's called middle school now, okay, it's not junior high. But when I was in middle school, I had a teacher, and he was a friend of my parents, but he was also a member of the church, and I believe he was a member of the priesthood. But one day he took me aside after class, and he said to me, "Eric, how old are you now?" And I said, "I'm 14." And he said, "Well, you know, Joseph Smith was 14 when he had his first experience in the Grove. And you could be having an experience like that. You could pray, and the Lord could share something with you." And I have to say that at the time, that scared me to death. I was fearful. And the reason I was fearful is because I knew what my life was like at that time. And I knew that I was not ready to walk into His presence and at least ask for that type of experience, or even if He wanted to grant it to me. But as I said, we can seek the Lord really at any time, but certainly in our youth. I think about Samuel the prophet, the same Samuel the prophet who chose David, or was led to David for him to be chosen as the next king. But Samuel was dedicated to the Lord when he was a child by his mother. And he lived in the temple with the priest and helped perform the different ordinances and things that they did there. And as you know, one night the Lord spoke to him and by name, saying, "Samuel." And he thought it was the priest. Three times that happened before he finally called out and said, "Lord, here am I." And so we can seek the Lord out at a very young age, and he can have presence in our lives, presence in our lives and in that which we do, really at not just young age, but at any age. And so I encourage you here this week to seek him out, because he is worthy to be sought after, and he desires that you seek him out. He is calling you. I kept thinking here in the preceding weeks to this reunion, I kept thinking of that picture of Christ, that he's knocking at the door and he's calling. Jesus is calling for you, and that's so true. You know, the prophet Job said, "Can a man searching find out God?" And you know, we as men, as mankind, have done a lot of searching, a lot of discovery. And some of the things that came to my mind here that I read a little bit about. But one of them is that, I don't know if some of you saw here in the past year, they discovered a solar system that had, I believe it was 6 or 5 different planets orbiting around it. And they said some of them were perhaps even Earth-like. And, you know, a number of years ago, not even that long ago, in 2004, they really only knew about a couple hundred planets in the universe, or in the galaxy, that is, that they could see. But in 2009, the Kepler Space Telescope was put into orbit, and they were able to do things that they have never been able to do with any other telescope. By looking at the stars, you notice you look at the stars, they flicker, but with this telescope they can see the flicker, and depending on that type of light that is as being blocked at that moment, through a computer analysis, they're able to determine that there's a planet that is orbiting that star. And not only that, but they're able to determine the size of the planet, and a lot of times they can determine its rotation, how often it goes around that star, and perhaps even what its chemical makeup of it is, what kind of elements it's made out of. Is it a rocky planet, or is it a gas giant? And with this, now they know of potentially 4,000 planets. So we've gone from 100 or two to 4,000 planets that they've simply been able to see. Another telescope put into orbit even longer ago was the Hubble telescope. And they noticed that when they would look out at stars, or pictures of the stars from the Hubble telescope, that there were faint glimmers of light in the background. And so they would take a picture of an area and take multiple pictures and combine them together. And after a while, and this is called the extreme deep field picture, but by doing this, they're able to see that off in the distance, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of galaxies, not just stars, but galaxies. And so at one time, we used to think that the only galaxy was the Milky Way. Then we learned that there was actually several others around us. And now it's estimated that each of those galaxies, which contain anywhere from 100 to 200 billion stars, they think that there is at least 100, maybe closer to 200 billion galaxies. And you know, Joseph Smith Jr., in this revelation where the Lord spoke to the prophet Moses, and you remember this, that he talked in there that they use these specific words, talks about worlds without end. And you know, the scientists actually frankly admit that we're dealing with such a big number here that we may not even be able to actually calculate it. That's how big a number we're talking about, worlds without end. And so the mankind and the astronomers and those who are doing this research, they marvel at these things and at the immensity of space and how vast it is. And yet we still perhaps don't even completely even know everything about it that there's to know. But you know, despite all of these testimonies, and I'll call them that, testimonies that we get, yet we still find much of the scientific community not willing to admit that there is a creator. That they acknowledge his creation, they acknowledge the design in things. And we hear that some, particularly about when we're talking about things on more on the order of what I deal with in medicine, about things on the molecular design, cellular level, DNA, and they talk about intelligent design. But yet they're not willing to admit that there is a creator. And you know, this I think perhaps is what Job is talking about here, is can a man searching find out God? Because you can do the search, you can gain the knowledge, you can gain the understanding, and you can research these things, but until you acknowledge that there is a creator, it will not mean anything to you. You'll not realize that there is a God. And you know, the Apostle Paul says that that it's impossible to please God without faith. And then he tells us why. He says, because for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Brothers and sisters, there has to be a purpose in our seeking. There has to be a point to that which we do. It's this God that we're talking about, the God of the universe, is not something that we just accidentally stumble upon, that we don't just by happenstance find him. And you know, even from the very beginning, we look back to Adam and how he and Eve were cast out of the garden and they heard the voice of the Lord speaking to them from the garden. And even then, in that very early time in mankind's history, the Lord sent angels to them to tell them the way to salvation, to preach to them about the crucifixion of Christ and his atonement. And he did this because the Lord wanted to make known to them the way that they could come back into his presence. He wanted to make known to them of who he was and who he still was. And the same is true for each of us, brothers and sisters, that he wants us to know who he is. He wants us to ask him for the mysteries. He wants us to ponder them in our mind. He wants us to seek him out in prayer. And as I said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We have to have purpose in this. We have to have some knowledge to begin. And you know, brothers and sisters, there is purpose in our lives. And you know, that's why I think sometimes the scientists, or many of them, refuse to see that there is a creator. Because if they acknowledge that there's a creator, and they acknowledge that these things exist by creation and by design, and that there is purpose in them, then they would have to acknowledge that they have purpose. You have purpose, brothers and sisters, in your lives. You have purpose that not only just as a person, as a saint, but you have purpose as an individual to other people, to the Lord, to the measure of creation. You know, and I believe that the Lord works in our lives, and that He, even from when we're very young, that He works with us and He leads us along gently, and He gives us insight and direction, and He causes things to happen in our lives, and for us, things for us to hear and for us to know, and interactions that we have, that we might be led along to come to that point where we would seek Him out, that we would want to know who He is and what He is about, and more importantly, what purpose He has in our own individual lives. I believe He does that, brothers and sisters. I believe that He leads us along, and perhaps He has led even some of you here tonight and through this week. Even perhaps up to this very week, there is perhaps a purpose that the Lord has in mind, that He is leading you, that you might come to greater understanding, that your mind might be enlightened, and that you might know Him. And this relationship, saints, that our Lord, our God, wants to have with us, is a very personal relationship. It's not a casual relationship. It's not the interaction you have with the technician at Valvoline when he's changing your oil, or the cashier at Target when she's checking you out. This is a personal, deep relationship that He wants to have with us. And you know, you remember when Jesus is in His ministry here on earth, even in the night that He was going to be taken before the high priest, that His ordeal would begin, He spoke to His disciples. And you remember what He said to them? He said to them that, "I call you My friends." And you know, as His friends, there are certain privileges that we have if we are truly His friend. We have the right to ask Him things. We have the right or the ability to be able to talk to Him and share with Him perhaps our innermost, deepest, darkest thoughts, our concerns, our fears, and our doubts. And He can share things with us. He can give us insight and wisdom. He can give us warning. And of course, that's what He does here in these last days, is He gives us warning. Warning that He is going to move one of these days, that this world will, His Son will return to this world, and that we will have Zion, and that we need to prepare. And so what would you be willing to give up to have this unique friendship with our Heavenly Father? You know, I think about in the Book of Mormon, you remember the sons of Mosiah and Alma went to the Lamanites and they converted King Lamoni. And Ammon actually was out with Lamoni, they crossed paths with his father, and we're never really told what his father's name was. He was just father of Lamoni. He was king of all the Lamanites. And an interaction took place there, but needless to say, the father of Lamoni was moved to allow either Ammon or one of the sons of Mosiah to come and speak with him. And so we're told that account in the book of Alma that Aaron came and spoke with the father of Lamoni. And he began, even as it says many of these men did, he began at the very beginning with Adam. And he began and he told them about the fall of man and the atonement of Christ. And when he had finished speaking with the king was moved by the conversation. And he asked him, "What must I do? What is it that I can do that I may have this eternal joy, that I may have this great peace? I will give up all my riches that I might know him. I will give up my kingdom. I will forfeit my kingdom. I will give up all my sins to know him." And you know, when it really comes down to it, brothers and sisters, that's really it, isn't it? We have to give up all our sins to know him. We have to be willing to do that. And you know, we're willing in word. We're willing to say it, and we're willing in part to give up many things. But you know, there's those things that we cling to, the things that our heart desires, and we each have them. We each have our own faults and our own temptations. But this is something that requires on our part the sacrifice of all things. You know, Joseph Jr. said that a religion must require the sacrifice of all things in the lectures of faith. And I remember I heard a statement once, and I was unable to find it who said it, but that all great things require sacrifice of some sort. As I said, we have to be willing to give up all of our sins, willing to be able to forsake the world. And you know, the Savior shared some parables when he was here on earth in this regard. He talked about a treasure in a field, and he talked about a pearl of great price, and how men came upon these things, these great treasures. And it says that they went and they sold all that they had that they might obtain them. And of course, you probably know the Mormons have their book, The Pearl of Great Price, from that parable. Are you willing to sell all that you have? Would you give up everything that you have for this great treasure? Well, I guess you'd have to know it first. And that's part of this where it comes into seeking him out, that we might know that treasure and know that gift that he is willing to give to us. And so this is where we get to this scripture that is the theme for today. And this is where I think it has its meaning, is because when we allow the Lord to truly lead us, we will find that we are lacking nothing. It will be not a problem. It will be no difficulty for us to be able to give up everything on account for our Savior when he truly leads us. But when we are indecisive, when we allow other things to influence us and lead our lives, we will find ourselves wanting. We will find ourselves not at peace, but unrest, perhaps confused. And so, when we seek him out, it has to be with purpose, but it has to be with full purpose, that we might be willing to do whatever it is that he calls us to do, to give up whatever it is that he calls us to give up, that we might draw nearer to him. You know, I was looking through some papers here, trying to find something in my papers, and I found it, but in the meantime, I found something else, another testimony that I wanted to share with you, and this comes from the 1999 Buckner reunion, which we had in Excelsior Springs, but it's a message that was given through our brother Lee Botiford, and I just wanted to read this part of it to you. It says, "There are those here that the Spirit of Christ has blessed, that they taste anew the freshness and encouragement and the great beauty of His presence. And when you leave this week, you will again enter into the activities of life, and you will have made here a decision that will affect you for better or for worse. And Christ will not make that decision for you, but He will grant to you the presence of His Spirit that you might taste and know the difference, that you might seek for those things that are good and beautiful, that will give your life meaning and depth and beauty." That's the type of life I would like to have, saints, a life of meaning and depth and beauty. I'd hope that that would be your hope as well, that you might be able to do that. And so, as I said, this is your week. This is our week. It will probably be what we want it to be, what we make of it, what willingness and what efforts we are willing to put in. And not only as a group, as a corporate body, but as individuals. And you know, I think we will probably have fellowship here. We will have fun and some recreation, and many of us will have rest. But I'd hope that we might pray that this is a week where He can come and abide here, that we are in His presence, and that it changes us, that as we leave this place, we will be here, even as I read Brother Botiford had written, that we will be refreshed and taste life anew and see perhaps a greater purpose, the greater purpose that we have as individuals and as a people.